Well, it's good to be back. I lost my family during the afternoon. Brant went to one camp, and Kathy headed down to the States to her parents to take Alyssa to another camp where her parents serve, and then picked up Tyler down in Burlington on the way to take him to help Kathy's dad, who's one of the maintenance, or the head maintenance guy at this camp. So they're all busy, but they're anywhere but close to me today. So I get to be a bachelor all week. So if you hear of any houses burning down, you don't have to ask where it is. We good? Oh, you're okay. I thought you were turning me on. Okay. I'd like to do something a little different tonight. You're right, Jack. We'll talk about Indonesia. We're going to look a little bit in Papua New Guinea. But I would like to, something I didn't mention this morning, I'd like us to do a missions update on the world. You guys ever had that? Have I done that here? I don't think so. I've been doing some research lately online because you look at passages in Romans where it says we are more than conquerors. And yet, when I hear and I watch the news and I see what's happening, I think, really? I don't feel like a conqueror as a child of God sometimes when I look at the world. And then this morning I mentioned a verse that I have really struggled with. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, we read this morning, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have come already, but he's waiting till more people have the opportunity to repent. But I look at the world and I think, but Lord, it's going backwards. The longer you wait, the more we're going to hell. More people, we're losing this battle. He said we're more than conquerors. We're more than winners. I struggled with that statement. And I struggled with this idea of he's not coming because he's waiting for more people to have the opportunity to repent. So how are we doing in this world? So I have actually spent the last few months doing a lot of research. I've talked to a lot of missionaries from other missions. I've talked to some missionaries from Iraq. I've gone online. I've looked up, if you guys want to look up a lot of real easy one, is joshuaproject.net. It's a good evangelical organization that they do is research all over the world to find out where the unreached people groups are, where are people getting saved, how many have been saved here. They just do a lot of research. And so I didn't want to go to NTM statistics because that could be twisted for my own benefit, right? So I've gone to joshuaproject.net, but I've also gone to a few other organizations and looked at information to compare. And what I want to share with you a little bit tonight I think is going to shock you. I think you might say when we're done that when God said in Romans that we are more than conquerors, he really meant it. We are on the winning side. And I hope you can leave tonight with that sensation because that is a fact. God is reaching this world and it's amazing what he's doing. Okay, let's just look to the Lord first. Lord, we really come to you, Father. And as we start looking at things so much bigger than ourselves, even what you're doing in this world, Father, you know how susceptible we are to wrong information, how susceptible we are to, because we don't know. We don't know the facts. We can miss things. So, Lord, I commit our time to you. Pray, Lord, that what I say would be well substantiated from truth. Pray, Father, more than anything else, that you would be glorified in it. And I pray, Father, is anything that I say or any of this information I share that is wrong, Lord, I pray you give me the humility to see that and bring the truth out, Father. Lord, I just commit our time to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. But first of all, I want to give you something to pray about this week. The Lord said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save who? The lost. Every single individual in this world is important to the Lord. Every individual. And he's seeking them. He's looking for them. Those that don't know him, he's looking specifically for those that recognize they are lost. And sometimes we look at the world and we see these vast numbers because we don't know individuals. But Christ, God, when he looks down, he sees a crowd. He sees every single soul and knows who they are. And he knows their heart. And he knows those that are seeking a Savior. Though we also know that in and of ourselves we don't seek God. And yet he is also working to draw man to himself. There's so much scripture that God cares about every individual that is lost. So what I'd like to do is just give you a little something to think about this week, to pray about from, I mentioned this morning, the BM Island in Papua New Guinea. It's off the mainland of Papua New Guinea. It's an island that have never had any evangelical work, any Christians work amongst them. But about 4 years, three families, supported by individuals around North America and possibly other parts of the world, went in there and began learning their language. And what I'd like to do, they started last week teaching, and I want to give you just a glimpse of what God is doing to reach individuals in one little tribe. Okay? One little group. The BM group. Their first week of teaching there, they just finished their first week. And during this first week, they focused on creation. They asked the people a lot of questions. They'd say, so how do you guys believe the world was created? And they all had slightly different answers and different viewpoints depending on their background. And some had been married in from other tribes, and they had all a different idea of how the world was created. So they started saying, so how is the best way to find out how it really was created? Now, honestly, this idea of evolution that kind of popped out of nothing, that's a weird modern idea. You go to any lost people group that have been in existence from way back for hundreds of years, I have never heard of evolution ever being a concept in a lost people group back in the jungle. They all go way back to a creation, any group I've ever heard of. Many of them actually talk about creation and talk about a flood. The tribe I grew up in, they even had the idea of 8 people surviving. This goes back thousands of years from these people groups way back in the jungle, possibly traced back to Babel. The Moy people, no connection or any language around them. There's a tribe there in Papua where we serve with FOSS camps that they are what they call a language isolate. They sound just like they're Norwegians. Their language, it's very different than a Norwegian, but it sounds like Norwegian. It's an isolate. There's no other language in the whole area of that part of Asia that has a similar language. They're a single little language that sounds just like they came out of Norway, but every word is different. It's really odd, but that's Babel, and God spread the languages. And here's one language, the BM language, that our missionaries have been studying their language for between 3 and 4 years, and they started teaching last week. So they asked questions. Well, how was the world created? Many ideas. So they said, well, guess what? If you really want to know how the world's created, the best way to find out is find out from the one who created it. And they thought, well, yeah, how come we never thought of that? He says, well, that's who sent us. And that's why you've been learning your language, to give you his talk. The one who created all things. And so they went through creation. I'm not going to go in through all the details. But part of that, I'm going to just highlight one aspect here. They talked about Lucifer and the fall of Satan and sin, where that started. And so they talked through that. And I'm just going to read a couple quotes here. They talked, well, here, God is holy. Nothing bad or dirty or sinful can coexist with God. God simply does not allow that. Lucifer was punished for his pride and rebellion right away. And they go on and talk about how the angels were kicked out. And then the missionary said this to the tribal people. Guys, this talk does not just shoot or hit the angels. This talk hits us too. Nothing unclean can be with the holy God. That was a foreign concept to them. And then he speaks that afternoon. As I was walking the village the next day, a BM friend called me over and said, hey, Wayne, I was so scared last night I could scarcely sleep. This talk is huge. I kept on thinking back to what you guys said in the lesson. Look, if God punished Satan for just one sin, then what about me? I have done so many bad things, not just once like Satan, but all the time. My bad stomach, my bad behavior, my bad insides are huge. If God is so holy that it punished Satan for one sin, then what is God going to do with me? This is a soul that God is reaching. Another BM guy just looked at me and repeated, Taki Tayaki Ardom, Taki Tayaki Ardom, which means, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Then on Friday, one of the big chieftains who's always opposed them, giving them a hard time, came up and he's very serious and somber. And this is what he says. He was very somber and quiet and serious. Thomas thought, man, this is not good. He's going to oppose us and get us kicked off the island. Then this is what the man said, one of the chieftains. He said, this is unbelievable. I cannot believe you guys are doing this in my language. This talk is very big and it has finally come to our language. I'm going to take the lesson notes back home tonight. I'm going to gather my family and my clan and I will teach them what I heard here today. This is too important to miss. This is God reaching another people group. This week. Okay, this week. And then they go on to talk about tomorrow, they're going to carry on with teaching, and they're saying, you know, there's a lot more little quotes in here, but they can't wait to get to the point in the scripture starts talking about God as a compassionate God too. He's a just God. He cannot have sin in his presence. Yet God provided a solution in Jesus Christ. And so that's what they're excited about. But they also say, be praying, because as they're teaching, they're also having to translate the next passages of scripture for the next lesson the next day. So they're translating, they're preparing the lessons, so after they're done teaching, they can give the people the lessons in their language, because they've put their language into writing. They've taught the people to read and write their own language. So after they teach, they give it to them in their lessons in their language, and they can take it home and read it over and over and read it to those that missed it, like that chieftain wants to read to his clan. So be praying this week, and it'll probably be the next 4 months or so that the teaching will carry on in the BM Island there. And Lord willing, 4 to 6 months from now, the gospel will be presented to these people. And be praying. You can be a part of what God is doing in one little language group on the other side of the world. That's the awesome thing of prayer. We can take part in every one of these things that take place. Okay, that's one thing I want to share. I think I'm going to step aside. I wanted to give you an update. We'll do this very quickly on what God is doing there in Moy. We were just there. Bert and Diane have been very much a part of the Moy work. And I'm going to show a testimony that I just saw recently. Have you guys seen the YO DVD? I think I've shown it here. You guys remember that? I showed it 2 years ago, I think. I have to show it again. But on that DVD, there's 6 testimonies by the Moy people. The last one, the man specifically mentions Bert being there in the trial. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm going to show that one testimony tonight. Well, this is our family. This is the one you missed this morning here, Tyler, right there. We went over to Indonesia last Christmas. We stayed there for about a month. 3 days over, because I had to pay a fine to leave the country. Okay, this was this is going back to the July 2000, when we made first contact with the Moy people. I don't know if you see this fella hiding here and this fella hiding over here. This is after we landed. We cut some more trees back down for the helicopter to come back. Uh-oh, what did I just do?
I think there's just a blank slide in there.
It's not going anywhere. Oh, I hit a button that says blank. Will that do it? Okay, so this was our contact back in 2000. These people had never seen anything of the outside world. So we're taking, going back 12 years, what God has done amongst the Moy people. Here's the YO, actually right here, the DVD. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it again. It's excellent. But that's the YO. And then these are other men. This fella's dead, this fella's dead. He's a believer, and he's a believer. In fact, these four all live right close to our house where it is now. The Lord, they've moved down to hear the gospel, and they're strong believers in the Lord. So this is our first day. This is my first day in there. Actually, it's probably within half an hour of being in there. And these people are just overwhelmed with us. You can see we're kind of overwhelmed with them. They've never in their entire life ever had a bath. They have never seen clothing. So we're shocked at them. They're shocked at us. And it was quite an experience. This was the day we moved in with our family. My kids there are quite little. Alyssa was just under 2. This was our pilot, a heli mission pilot. Kathy and I just went to visit him 2 weeks ago. He's in New York now and had a really good time of fellowship with them. Tokomadi, he's one of probably the main chieftain there in the tribe. Apabo, holding my daughter. After taking this picture, I found out a short time later he'd killed 3 wives of his wives. So you kind of think, well, can I trust him? But we always kept a close eye on them. That was building our house there in the tribe. This would have been in 2001. That was in our house. So this is just a quick review back, going back to the 2000 and 2001. That was our home where we lived. Bert and Diane have lived there. You spent a few months in there, right? Yeah, so much to say. I won't say it all. Okay, we just went back this last Christmas. And one of those men you saw in the picture that first day, you can see all their backs to me. This is one of those guys' wives. Wei was her name, and a strong, strong, strong believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a godly woman. Godly woman. This is my sister. Her and her husband still serve there. Steve, they still serve in there. So this is when we just arrived back in December of last year. This was coming in for Christmas. We went for 3 weeks, and we were 3 weeks in the tribe with the people, and then I went and spoke with Bert and Diane there at the conference there in Papua in January. So this was arriving for the first time. Here's Bubai. I have some exciting stories I could tell you, but let me just tell you briefly. When I left the tribe, when Kathy and I left the tribe in 2004, that day he just told me how he had just killed his wife. And as he described killing her and chopping her up, I asked him, "Bubai, did you cry?" And he looked at me with the funniest look in his eyes and said, "Why would I cry? I intentionally killed her." That's how hard. And I remember thinking, can God ever change a heart so hard? Can he do that? Now coming back, that was in 2004. Now going back in, the day after we got there, better go back. Day after we got there, he showed up to see us. And I found out his six-year-old daughter had just died. He had become a strong believer in the Lord. This man is walking with God. And he's known as, he was a witch doctor. He's known as a man who's made it very clear he will never, never, never go back to the old way. He is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the old way is wrong and evil and deceitful. And he knows it. His wife died. Him and his wife got saved about 3 years ago. His wife died a year later. Bopi was her name, a godly woman. She loved the Lord. So he's had without his wife now for 2 years. 6 days before we got there, his six-year-old daughter, maybe eight-year-old daughter, had just died. Also a girl who had a strong testimony for the Lord. She had just died. So I asked him, I said, "Bubai, tell me about it." Because I knew the last time I'd seen him, he had just killed his wife. He says, "Well, my daughter got sick. The sickness she had used to be what his powers were strong in. As a witch doctor, that's what he healed, that particular sickness that she had." He described that. And he said the family put a lot of pressure on him to pray to the spirits. He says, "I will never pray to the spirits, and I will only pray to Jesus, and I only trust him with my daughter." She went into a coma, and boy, the pressure was huge on him to pray to the spirits. He said, "No." His daughter was in a coma. Suddenly she woke up wide awake. She looked around. She said, "Anagisime, Anagisime. He's the creator God. Anagisime means the creator one." She sat up and she said, "He created all. He is the creator." And then she fell over dead. And he's telling me this story. I said, "Well, Bubai, you prayed to Jesus and she died. Are you disappointed with him? Are you angry at God?" He looked at me with that exact same look he looked at me with back in 2004. That look of, he tipped his head and said, "Why would I cry? Because I meant to kill her." This time he looked at me, tipped his head. It was just uncanny. He looked at me with the same look. He says, "Why would I be disappointed with God?" He said, "Tim, before she was born, God appointed her days. He gave me all these years with her, many, many moons. He gave me with my daughter." He said, "I am so thankful to God for his goodness." And I looked and I thought, man, I have so much to learn. So much to, here's a brother in the Lord now, praising God that God gave him those years with his daughter. Not a bit disappointed with God. Blew me away. We're in church there. I'm going through these quickly. But in church, there's so much to learn. You get into a tribal setting. And you know what this he's doing? Anybody guess? He's cutting up a banana. For what? Breaking of banana. Breaking of bread. They don't have any concept of bread in their culture. We could provide them with bread, but when the missionaries leave, what are they going to use? They can't do breaking of bread anymore. They'd have no way. So he was teaching. This is his clipboard. His lesson was on the other side. When he finished teaching, he flipped over the clipboard, pulled out a knife, and looked around, and someone handed him a banana. He sliced it up, started walking around until everybody, the banana was gone. Then he stopped, looked around. Somebody else gave him a sweet potato. He sliced it up. He did that three or four times. He'd run out. Somebody else would give him another type of food. He'd chop it up until everybody had it, and then they had communion. And then it comes to the grape juice or wine. They have no concept of any sort of juice in their tribe except for water. That's all. They don't have any sort of alcohol like some tribes have. They have nothing but water to drink. So I'm thinking, this is going to be good. What are they going to do? Well, they had little bamboo cups, but the bamboo gave horrible, bitter taste to the water. So they threw the bamboo cups out. My sister brought in a bunch of bottle caps, and they decided they're about that tall. So this was their first Sunday to use bottle caps, and they were so excited. They filled them all with water, and they passed these bottle caps around with water. And that, they do it every week. They break bread every Sunday. Sorry, every second Sunday. Every second Sunday they do it. And they have whatever food is available, and they break it up, and they use water for the wine juice. And you know what? I just sat there, had such a good time with them. God has changed these people. And you guys have been a part of that. I'm going to show you in a while how. Here's Kataya. When we first moved in, we weren't there maybe a year, and he showed up at our house, just a buck tooth covered in skin disease. His dad had just been killed for sorcery. His mother was far in another. He was basically an orphan. And had no relatives. He showed up and stayed by us for the whole time we were there. Lived right by us. He'd come in the morning, have coffee with me. Little 8-year-old started growing. This guy has grown. He's one of the tallest men in the tribe now. And one of the, probably the strongest, one of the two or three strongest leaders of the church. passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear this man teach and preach, it just would blow your mind. You wouldn't know a word he's saying, but you'd hear the heart. This guy is in love with the Lord. You remember him, Bert? Kataya, sharp guy, loves to help. He was probably building and fixing bobcats with you. Or turning the wrenches the wrong direction, most likely. This was after church. A lot of it already left, but I quickly pull everybody back together. This was left, and this was the group there. It was something else to sit in church with bows and arrows poking up everywhere. It was just a whole different experience. This was another day after church. We were there for 3 Sundays. And this is my sister right here. My brother, Kathy, there's my brother-in-law, Steve, and then Ashley, their oldest daughter, who just came back for college, and Mariah, same age as Brant, she's 16. And there's Tyler there, and Alyssa and Kathy there, and I'm over here. So this is a whole different experience when you're in church with people. It's just different. It's so different. But it's wonderful. These people are in love with the Lord. But we have all our clothes and dressed up. Most of the women don't even have shirts on. And the church starts getting hot, they're pulling their shirts off. And it's like, okay, where am I again? Half the men don't have pants on. They have gourds and bows and arrows sticking up everywhere. This is a whole different world. But they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a young boy. He's probably about 14, 15. Man, he leads a store. He's doing the medical program. He's verging on genius. This guy is brilliant, but one of the young boys, just dearly in love with the Lord. Strong testimony for God. And God, he's one we'd love to send. He could go to university. This guy is brilliant, but humble before the Lord. Neat stuff. Okay, what is this down here? What is this big open patch down here? Soccer field? What is that, Bert? That's a runway. Here comes the airplane. That's a Kodiak. Amazing airplane. I was very skeptical, but God's done some great things with that airplane. And the plane's coming in there for landing. There it is. That runway, it's uphill. And it's not like super, super steep, but it's quite a walk uphill. There it is. And then the last part's a real steep part. It comes up the top here and turns around. And I don't know how many of you guys know this, but you helped build that airstrip. You sent somebody to Indonesia who was very good with his hands and is a servant, a model of servanthood. And what is that couple? Anybody know them? Bert and Diane. And Bert, you don't have to listen to this, but so blessed by their testimony there in the Moy tribe. They came in fact, I think they were there for a while alone, weren't you? Didn't speak a word of Moy, and I probably didn't learn a lot while you're there either. But their heart and their passion for the Lord and to serve, the Moy learned. And I have heard from the Moy people so many times since then how much they respected Bert and Diane. How they were. Diane, out in the blazing hot sun working with Bert. This wasn't just a man's job. She was out here with him working day after day in the hot sun with the bobcat. You guys had prayed for them. You sent them there. I just want to give you a glimpse of what you're doing. What is happening in Moy. You guys, many of you have supported Kathy and I. You as a church have given to us. You've stood behind Bert and Diane. You guys have been a part of what is happening there in the Moy church. And it's huge. A third of the language group are believers in Lord Jesus Christ now. A third. Amazing. And the church is growing. And the people are in love with the Lord. They're having to work through things you'll never work through. One of the main teachers recently, his relative was killed in the family group. And it's a long story, but the family group came to him because this guy had kept killing people. And finally, the murderer came to one of our believers and said, you know what, he's killed a lot of people. We can't keep paying the fines. Why don't you guys go kill him? That's kind of their social control. There's no police. So if a guy kills too many, finally the last person that gets killed, his family, is given permission by the murderer's own family to kill him. That's how they do social justice. So one of the believers was given the job of killing this man. Three of the believers, actually. Awayo was one of them. Bomani, Awayo, and Daifufu. And so the three of them got talking. How they all believers. Two of them, Bomani and Daifufu, said, you know what, this is not God's way. We need to first make sure he has the gospel. He had never heard the gospel. Bomani was so mad, he killed his relative. And Bomani said, you know what, I'm not interested in God's way. Two of them said, no, Bomani, we've got to do this God's way. Bomani in his anger went out and killed the man. That was their social way. That wasn't wrong. But he knew, and God was pricking his heart not to. He went and killed him. The other two stood up in church and confessed their part. And Bomani was hard as a rock for 2 weeks. But God finally softened him. He stood up in front of the church and said, I have been wrong. He's not a teacher anymore, but he's walking humbly with the Lord again. But he confessed his sin. Now, that's not the kind of things we deal with in our church here, social control, murdering, killing. But they're growing through these things. They're growing. Okay, I want to show a... Do you want to show that testimony there, Adam? This is a short testimony. There's six of these on this DVD. This one I just was looking at recently. I thought, wow. No pressure, Adam. We're just kind of watching you work. The believer's testimony. Yeah, that one. No, this is not the right one. That's your preview to Ohio if you haven't seen it yet.
Like my father and my grandfather.
Okay, hit English, then go down to Believer's Testimonies, then number six. That was Kataya, or Edepia, talking to my sister. You hear my sister kind of acknowledging his voice there. Bert, you remember him? Do you see, you guys catch the very first line he said there? When people came like Bert and demonstrated the love of Christ, it's because of that. And many people around, when you're in the Moy Church, you guys would love this. Every time they have a church service, they always pray for the Christians in the Canada Village. We're just a big village here. And they say, we know they pray for us and we pray for them. You're being prayed for by the Moy Church. And you guys have prayed for them. And as you've sent Bert and Diane as an example, what God has done is a praise to Him. But you're a part of that. Missions is an incredible thing. It's something that we all have responsibility in. There's not just some that do it. We all are part of reaching this world. We all have different roles. But we're all part of that. What I'd like to do next is kind of give you a little look at the world. But all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Romans 8:37. That's a verse I mentioned earlier. But the idea that we're more than conquerors, and I've been in so many countries of the world. Just last year, I was in Indonesia, I was in Brazil, I was in Germany. And I get to see what God's doing, and I sit and I think, really? Lord, are we really more than conquerors? Or is that just something to make us feel good? I really had to ask myself that. So what I'd like to do is share with you some of the things I've been learning as I look at the world. And if you look at, now again, these statistics could be a little bit off. But according to Joshua Project and some other organizations, the Christianity is growing in this world at a rate of 6.9% every year. That's the increase every year. And that's grown a lot in the last 10, 15, 20 years. It's astronomical how many more people are coming to the Lord just in the last 10 years. Huge. If Christianity is growing that fast, do you guys think the Muslims are growing faster or slower than Christians? We would all think faster, wouldn't we? Some are brave to say it, some aren't. In North America and in Europe, Muslims are growing much faster. But in the worldwide, they're growing at a speed of about half as fast. They're growing at 2.7% every year. I grew up in Indonesia. I spent 12 years there with my family, 25 years altogether. And I can tell you the Indonesian government, which is the biggest Muslim country in the world, there's more Muslims in Indonesia than all of the Middle East put together. It is a huge Muslim country, the biggest. The Muslim government is petrified because they're losing the battle so rapidly. It's becoming Christian at an astronomical rate. It's blowing the government. They're trying to stop it, and they can't. They can't. Hindu is growing at 2.2%. That's about a third as fast as Christianity. And the Buddhists are growing at about a quarter as fast. Isn't that incredible? I've looked at other numbers. They all vary a bit, but it's pretty close to that. If you look at the worldwide numbers, Christianity is growing twice as fast as the Muslims. Not true in North America and Europe. Okay, let's move on here. It's not wanting to move. There we go. Okay, here's some I'm just trying to give you an idea of what God's doing in the world, okay? This morning we talked about the return of Christ. Can I tell you what I honestly believe? I don't know when, but I believe it's very, very soon. What is happening in this world, you don't have to do much study. You think, Lord, it looks like your return is very imminent. In about 1800, 1% of Christians lived outside of America, North America, and Europe. Okay, 1% was outside of North America and Europe. That was 212 years ago. In 1900, about 10% of Christians lived outside of North America and Europe. By 2000, about two-thirds, 66% of the Christians were outside of North America and Europe, because God is reaching around the world in a breathtaking rate. The 50 largest evangelical churches are not even in North America. Huge churches, some of these. Some in Indonesia, Philippines, Korea. Huge, huge. We're talking massive churches. And I've been to some of these people. This isn't just a game for them. It is normal to have all-night prayer meetings, just pouring out their heart to the Lord. Pouring out their heart. And you sit and you listen. I think, well, if it's big numbers, it can't be real. I've been to some of these churches. And these people really, really are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. 178,000 are converted to Christ daily. That's a guess. You guys, it might be half of that. I don't know. That's about the number, looking at what's happening around the world, that they come up with. That's a lot of people. We are more than conquerors. A million a year converted to Christ in Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim country. In Iran, this is neat. You guys watch the news? That man, what's his name? Ahmadinejad or whatever. I can never say his name right. He's on the news. It looks bad in Iran. But I've talked to some missionaries that are serving in Iran. God is shaking up that country. In Iran, more converted to Christ in the last 10 years than the previous 1,000. It is astronomical what's happening in Iran, in Iraq, Syria. We watch the news, and I don't know how to pray anymore. But I've talked to folks that have been in Syria and serve in Syria and know Syrians, and apparently the believers in Syria are hoping that the government does not change. The man that's currently in power, what's his name, whatever his fellow's name is, he has been fairly easy on the Christians. The persecution isn't that strong. They actually have quite a bit of freedom as Christians under the current leader. If the regime topples, it'll probably become strong Muslim, and that'll be very hard on the Christians. Maybe God will use that to strengthen Christianity. I don't know. But I watch news and think, get that guy out. But then you talk to the believers in Syria, and they're praying that he does not fall. Is that how do you compute all that? I don't know. In Latin America, this is interesting. In 1900, there was reported to be about 50,000 believers. 50,000 in Latin America. By 1980, 20 million. Today, there's over 480 million professing believers in Latin America. Does that blow you away? I don't know. Maybe it's half of that. I know there's a lot. I have been down there. It's crazy what's happening in Latin America. And it's hard to know how much are genuine believers. But a lot of these places, if you're persecuted for your faith, you don't just turn to Christ because it sounds exciting. A lot of them put their life in the line to do that. In Iran, to become a Christian, your life is at risk. I know some good Indonesian friends that if they ever went anywhere near their home area, if they got found, their family would kill them like that. It's not easy to turn to Christ in many of these countries. You don't do it for popularity. It's real. I don't know all these numbers. That's what I'm finding online. It could be off. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is God is doing some huge things. And when he says he's not willing that any should perish, I really think he meant that. And right now, he's drawing people in like in a breathtaking rate. It's like he's gathering the net for the last call. I don't know the timing, but it's blowing my mind what I'm seeing. This here in Iran, this is fairly normal. In many countries, that's what's happening. More to Christ in the last 10 years than the previous 1,000. One of the apostles, one of them was most likely, according to tradition, martyred in Iran. They've had the gospel for a long time. But God is starting to really pull people together. Now, speaking specifically of NTM, actually, I think that this is from 2011. We had 106 invitations from 106 different people groups to send missionaries to them. Some of them have mixed motives. Some of them because they really do want the freedom they see other tribes get. Some of them want better access to machetes. But we literally right now have 106 letters, written letters, of people saying, can you send us some missionaries? The doors are wide open in many places yet. We went back and looked at our numbers. Over the last 9 or 10 years, New Tribes Mission has averaged every 45 days a new tribe is reached with the gospel. We're averaging about 9 people groups a year. We reach, like the BM, we'll be hearing in a few months. Some years a little less, some years it's a little more. That's just New Tribes. There's other great organizations doing some incredible things too. But speaking for New Tribes, every 45 days, the gospel is presented for the first time to a new people group. Is that exciting? That's tangible. God's reaching this world. He really is. Again, these that are from last year, but NTM is currently engaged in 253 people. That's where we're actually working amongst 253 language groups right now. In 2011, 7 new tribes received the gospel for the first time. 1,121 tribal churches planted. That's total. 59 New Testaments completed. This is total up till last year. 104 New Testaments in progress. 4 Old Testament firm foundation portions are completed. This takes a lot longer. We only have 4 all done. 88 Old Testament portions in progress, where we're trying to get all the lessons right up to the final stages that missionary can leave the work. I just want to give you some pictures. Who's getting the gospel? The Triqui here in Mexico, they received the gospel for the first time in 2011. The Tepuan people received the first time there in Panama, I believe. First time heard the gospel. The Muninca in Mozambique. I've heard some really neat things what's happening here in the Muninca. This is a Muslim tribe. A large number of the people make. They heard the gospel. The gospel was presented, and they took a few months to think about it. Because they don't make decisions there individually. And about a third of the village, and many of them were the main imams in the mosque, came and said, we have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Not all of them, but a third of the village. This isn't a Muslim village. The Palawano, this is in the Philippines, heard the gospel for the first time. Last year, the Akolet, that's in Papua New Guinea. The Malamanda, that's also in Papua New Guinea. And the Ambara, this I think is, I think this might be in Panama, but I'm not sure. Siar in Papua New Guinea. The Bagafore. And actually here, I think this is where I think they appointed elders that last year for the first time. They have elders established in the church now. This isn't a tribe in Papua. You've been there, I'm sure, Bert. Have you been to the where the wilds are? The Wano? Have you been there? Yeah, me too. Just short visits. But they presented the gospel in 2010. And God's doing some incredible things there amongst the Wano. This is a group that down the south coast of Papua that their plan was to present the gospel this year. And I haven't heard if they've gotten to that or not. That's where the Williamsons were at. I know David's pulled out. But they're hoping to present the gospel this year to this people group. This is Moy. Remember in 2011 we landed amongst the Moy? Never heard the gospel? This picture was taken about 2009 maybe. And that was the church after the service one day. That was the church building, this bigger one here. But they can't all fit, so they kind of all crowd around it too. Now they have this monster church. A church in Jakarta sent money over to build it. I call it the Taj Mahal of Moy. It's massive. Literally, I think it's as big as this building in a tribe that every house is probably smaller than the stage. We've got this massive building there. It sticks out. It's right by our house, right in our front lawn. God is building his church. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you know what? He was serious. Reaching this world, building his church is his idea. It's not up to us to manipulate or figure it out or make it happen. He's doing it. But he's calling people to be a part of that process. But he is the one making it happen. He takes any one of us that put our life in line and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm here for it. And it's incredible what he is doing. It's incredible. And I tell you what, someday we are going to stand before the Lord. And I know for a fact. How do I know that? I'm guessing. I do not believe New Tribes Mission will be mentioned around the throne of grace. When we stand before the throne and every tongue, tribe, and nation is represented, New Tri's mission won't be named. But God's people will be standing around the throne praising the Lamb who did it. This is that verse we read earlier there in 2 Peter. God is coming soon, but He's gathering the remnant. I really believe that. Well, we finished about 3 minutes late this morning, so can we finish a minute early tonight? I hope that just kind of excites you. We're part of something that's real and tangible, and it's Christ building His church. And He is coming soon. That's awesome. It's awesome. Lord, we thank You so much for the incredible privilege of being Yours, to being Your children, Father. But Lord, it's certainly not about us. It's not about what we get out of it, Father. But it's about what You're doing. It's about Your omnipotence, Your power, Your amazing grace, Your mercy, Father, Your justice, Father. It's about Your heart to reach this world. Lord, You came to seek and to save the lost. And I thank You that You're doing that. Thank You, Lord, that You've called out Your church. You've called out a people that You love dearly as Your own bride. Lord, thank You that we can be a part of this, Lord. And I pray that every one of us here would come before You on our knees and say, Lord, I am nothing. I don't have anything that can change this world, but You do. And I want to be available. Lord, we thank You for the grace and the privilege of being Yours. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.